from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Dude.
I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skidmark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey. Want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Sports Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher, Jordan Schultz on the ones and twos. We've got Olympics on the TV. It's the only thing on the TV right now in the sports world.
Nothing wrong with that. It's actually made this summer quite a bit busier than normal.
Yes. Three things that are floating around the Olympic world right now that I saw online that are pretty cool. One, Scottie Scheffler getting his gold medal and breaking down and crying. Again, one of the all-time years for a golfer. Scottie Scheffler 2024. This year will go down in history as one of the most crazy as far as performance goes and off the course news goes as well, from everything to winning majors, winning big tournaments, to getting arrested, to having a child, to going to the Olympics and winning the gold. But there's video going around of him of singing the national anthem, getting his gold medal, and he can't even like make it through, and he just starts crying. And so, I mean, great year for him, great moment for Scottie Scheffler. That just puts a cherry on top of this year.
What a cool moment. Yeah. And that's what the Olympics are about, right? There was an Irish swimmer that won gold, and I believe he said he had never heard his national anthem on foreign soil at the Olympics before, and it was just such a special moment for him. He couldn't help but cry because of the pride that he felt for his country. Just, man, that it's awesome. It's what these summer and winter Olympics are about every 4 or 2 years, and I love that we get this extra month, basically, of competitive sports. We had the trials, and now 2.5 weeks of some of the best athletes around the world.
Yeah, and then two videos going around of the pole vault competition.
Yeah, saw that one. What a flex, bro. What a flex.
Well, the one that I just saw recently was the pole vaulter from Estonia, which people are saying it's like, he might have lied on the application there, because the dude, he runs up to do the pole vault, and the poor guy, he you know, vaults himself up, and then he like stalls halfway up there and falls back, doesn't even get close to clearing the pole, doesn't even end up on the padding. He lands on the track behind him And so he is just like hanging there for a couple seconds and then just falls backward and just totally eats ass onto the track and doesn't even come close to it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he just got nervous.
Again, you got to find this video because, he goes and you're like, oh no, oh no. And then just falls square on his ass right back onto the track and like hits the ground hard. The other video of pole vaulting going around, the more famous video, dude from France, good for him. Let's just say that. Good for him. He goes up and he's trying to clear he needed to clear this to advance to the finals. And he clears it for the most part. But dude is well endowed. Let's just say that. And something gets in the way. And it does look like maybe there's some scrape of the shins and the knees on the pole. But his pole ends up actually grazing the pole itself and knocking it down. And again, good for, I don't know what his name is. Someone on Twitter calling him Carl Hungus, which I pray that is his name. But the poor guy will not be advancing to the finals of the pole vault because his pole vaulted a little too far onto the pole vault itself. Anthony Amirati is his name.
I mean, good for him, I guess. A couple of questions are coming to my head right now. One, would you rather have a medal or
this video going around
or be hung? Which one do you want, I guess, if you had to choose? Because that's the choice this guy's having to face right now. And two, is it his pole or is it the participles that kind of also get in the way? I think it's the whole package,
dude. The whole twig and berries.
Yeah, I don't think it's just the twig. And frankly, if you ask me, hot take, I don't think it's the twig. I think it's the berries that get in the way. I really think it's the berries that actually they get get the pole over and knocked down. So I don't know though.
Listen, and I'm sure that the majority of the listening audience is male. I mean, you don't need much to hurt that area either. Like that dude, he grazes it on there and it looks like, I mean, there's some recoil on that thing too. That is
it's like a bat hitting a bull.
Yeah, that poor guy, French pole vaulter, Anthony Amirati. He is a loser in the pole vault competition, but he is a winner in my eyes.
But he's French?
Yes.
That makes total sense. Doesn't that just fit? I mean, anything sexual having to do with France, like, yeah.
Yeah, poor guy. Poor guy.
Terrible life he's got.
Yeah, but good for him, though. Good for him. Like I said, he's a winner in my book.
I wonder how many DMs he got.
That's basically, he's got to save that video, and that's just what he pulls out at the bars when he's meeting ladies.
That's like,
she's like, did you see me at the Olympics by chance here? This, you know, I didn't clear the poll on this one, but yeah, that's me.
It was really close.
That's me.
I'd be pulling that out on my deathbed if I were him, bro. Holy crap.
Dude. Yeah, exactly. I have that thing ready to go at all times.
Just play it at my funeral, please. Thank you.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I didn't get a medal, but look at this, huh? Look what I'm working with. Well, the Chargers, what they're working with is a injured Justin Herbert, unfortunately. Want to talk about the Bolts losing some buzz here because, man, it seems like we are getting to this point with Justin Herbert's career where it is always just something that is holding him back, whether it is coaching or now injury. So the first couple of years, who was it? Anthony Lynn, the head coach?
Yeah, not great.
Worked out great. The next few years, Brandon Staley, again, worked out great. And then the end of the Brandon Staley era last year, it ended with Brandon Staley losing his job, the Chargers giving up, 63 points to the Raiders in that Thursday night game,
yeah,
I believe.
It was bad.
63 points.
But under a defensive-minded head coach. They obviously got fired, but yeah.
And then, that was his last game, correct? That wasn't the game after he got fired. That was his last game.
I'm going to go look this
sure
up.
As hell should have been. Like
Brandon Staley fired. It was, fired after Thursday's loss to the Raiders, who outscored the Chargers 42-0 in the first half alone. That was exactly what happened.
The final was like 63-10 or 63-21 or something.
Just leave him on the tarmac.
And then, he breaks his finger last year, I believe week 14. And then so the last 5 or 6 weeks, he doesn't even play.
And that was the second time he had dealt with like a messed up finger that season, too.
But started 62 consecutive games, Justin Herbert did. And then he has the injury. And now before the season even starts, a lot of hype, a lot of optimism around this Chargers team after getting Jim Harbaugh as the new head coach. And now Justin Herbert going to deal with a plantar fascia injury. And the outlook, at least from Adam Schefter, what he's talking about, doesn't look good. This is going to be a couple weeks that he's going to be in a walking boot. The reports are saying he's going to be ready by week one. But Adam Schefter was saying that this is an injury that could linger throughout the season for Justin Herbert.
Yeah, that's not good. And is it just me or has there been a lot of training camp injuries this year? I feel like, you know, we usually...
Well, just this week alone. I mean, yeah. Hell, we had Herbert, Geno Smith, and then, you know, say what you want about DeAndre Hopkins and the Titans and how much of a chance they have this season, but that was another injury that happened.
Yeah, Williams
happened
for the Cowboys as well. ACL done for the year. I mean, there's been multiple, not just like multiple weeks injuries, but a couple that are already done. The Detroit Lions kicker, didn't he tear his ACL as well? I mean, it's like, good Lord.
Yeah, but I would say of all the injuries that we have seen so far, this one is the biggest blow. Again, he should be good by week one, but as far as reports saying that this could be a lingering injury for him, it's that is not ideal. You do not want to be dealing with this throughout the season, especially, again, if you're a Chargers team that has so much optimism going into it with Jim Harbaugh. Like, you just want things to go smoothly. It's like, no injuries. Let's just see how good this team can be with Herbert fully healthy and having someone at the helm like Jim Harbaugh. And this is not an ideal start for Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's really the crappy danger here that the Los Angeles Chargers are facing. You've got your young quarterback that really fits the mold, the perfect mold of a quarterback that you want. He's tall. He's actually fast. Like, he can still run the ball when he needs to. Although with these injuries now, I'm kind of wondering if he should, because then kind of starts to eat at you. The other part of that equation, which is the big risk, is what happens if you pay a guy and he just gets injured? Or what happens if you pay a guy and you find out he's injury prone? And wondering now, is that going to be Justin Herbert? I think it's fair to say he's missed enough time over his 4-year career that, you know what? I get it. It's the NFL. He's a quarterback. He gets banged up. Guys get banged up. Are you hurt or you're injured? That famous question. But if he's missing 4 weeks every season, they just invested $53.5 million into him. You think people in Los Angeles's front office aren't scared as hell right now hearing that? The potential big investment is possibly going to... I mean, we're talking he's ready for week one, but what happens if he has to sit week three through week seven? Like, that is not something the Chargers are prepared to deal with.
Well, and again, this is why I say it's like... It just is starting to become really annoying, his tenure with the Chargers, because it's just always something. Again, he started 62 consecutive games.
He did.
For the Chargers.
But he was hurt in those games. He was dealing with like little nagging injuries even through that.
And this is the thing, going back to, what is it, Baker Mayfield. It's like, hey, if you're playing, like, you're clearly not injured enough to sit out. So if you're playing, you're performing. And he has shown that this Chargers team, it's not his fault. Like, the defense has been atrocious over the last few years. And then last year is when we actually see him having an injury for the first time, where it has taken games away from him. So this is the year that was like, all right, this could be the chance that the Chargers put things together, because you have a new head coach. And then before the season even gets started, it's like, well, here you go. Here's a plantar fascia injury that could be lingering for the entire season. It just sucks. And so this is where I want to go into the AFC West preview now, because out of the Broncos, the Raiders, and then the Chargers seem like the only team that would be willing to somewhat compete with the Chiefs. But now, before this season even starts, are we just saying, here we go again, it's the Chiefs division to lose, and it's not even close? I want to get to the AFC West, start previewing that division next year, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, gosh. Now, this is good news, but I didn't even know. One of our favorite rookies apparently had a leg injury. Panthers rookie wide receiver Xavier Leggett. He had x-rays come back negative for his leg injury, which is great news. But I swear, if there's one player I want to see just become an absolute star, one of the household names, it's Xavier Leggett.
Oh, he's awesome, man.
The more clips of audio we can have of him talking, I mean, the better on there.
I called Jelly. He picked me up at 9.
Please. Please let him be great and be one of the best players in the league.
Here, hold on. No, I know you want the audio here.
Give me
two more seconds. There we go. Yeah, there we go.
Xavier, you woke up a Carolina Panther. Did you have to pinch yourself?
Say it one more time.
So you woke up a Carolina Panther this morning. Did you have to pinch yourself a little bit?
Oh, no, man. I woke up ready, man. I got a call right after I got Jethro. He was coming to pick me up at 9:30 in the morning. I told him I'm going to be ready.
Yes. Yeah, don't get hurt. We need more Xavier Leggett.
There's some more videos going around of him that I've seen pop up on IG. And again, just any time you can have him in front of a microphone, the better. So hopefully, I don't know. I really don't know how many primetime games the Panthers have this year. I would say close to none. But if whatever they play, whether it's a Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night football, if they have any games this year, I pray that he just goes off and is the post-game interview. Because the more eyeballs that can be known of one Xavier Leggett, the better.
That 200 yards, man, just got a jelly for you. He'll be out. He's, you know,
please,
he's ready to go.
Please. But his team is not in the AFC West. They are in the NFC East. And we are not, the NFC South. And we are not talking about them. It is AFC West preview time. Chiefs on three. 1, 2, 3, Chiefs.
Chiefs, yay. I mean, I'm a Rams fan, so don't, yeah.
I mean, again, it is just this injury. Do we have some bells? Do we have some NFL?
Oh, we want some NFL music?
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah, we want some NFL music. I want to hear the bells.
We got it.
I want the bells. We finally have NFL action. We had the Hall of Fame game, well, three quarters of it, of the Hall of Fame game the other day.
Safety is a thing. Can't play during lightning.
Ah, who cares? Let's risk some lives for our NFL Hall of Fame game, please.
Some of them are wearing electronic devices on their person. I don't think that's safe, Joe.
Is that how that works? I thought it was just metal. You just needed to be like conducive so that way you can be grounded for a lightning bolt to strike you.
That's
right?
True. Yes,
like, like an umbrella or, again, Caddyshack holding up a golf club or something like that.
So you're just mad because they haven't come up with this tech yet. It's like, no, get the shoes to ground them to, like, the grass or the turf or whatever.
Yeah. But the AFC West, I mean, again, with this Justin Herbert injury, it is definitely taking out some of the preseason. Like, oh, could they? It's taking a little bit of the shine off of this division. And again, as long as number 15 is suiting up for the Kansas City Chiefs, then that is their division to lose. Did you know that Patrick Mahomes also the fourth best player in the NFL, according to the NFL Top 100 list?
Really?
Yeah. I did kind of want to get into this a little bit today, but I think it is the death of best player lists or just sports lists in general when the NFL Top 100 comes out with their best players. And they put Lamar Jackson above Patrick Mahomes again. I believe it's the second year in a row they've done that. And then they put the number one player in the NFL as Tyreek Hill.
Weren't we asking for years if Lamjack actually deserved the money that he got from Baltimore? Like, leading up to that, it's like, is he ever going to get paid? Until they finally did. But all of a sudden, he's a better quarterback than Pat Mahomes?
And I believe that we also saw last year in a game where it was the Chiefs versus the Ravens that he was not the better quarterback.
Hmm.
And I feel like we have seen over multiple seasons now that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. But yeah, I wanted to bring that up because I know I saw that the other day. That, and that's not even the most egregious part of the list, is just putting Tyreek Hill as the number one NFL player and saying that he is the best player in the league. No, let's just stop.
What football are we watching? Guy gets a lot good? Of fantasy points, of course.
Is he good? Yes. Is he the best player in the NFL? No, because again, Patrick Mahomes will be until he decides to not be good at football anymore, which I don't know whenever the hell that is going to happen, until he is old and can't throw anymore. But the Chiefs, I haven't seen what the odds are for them to win the AFC West. I can imagine that out of all of the division odds, that they probably have the best odds to win their division. If you want to look, I mean, I'm trying to think of other divisions in the NFL. I would imagine that they have the best odds over any other team, any other division, that they have the best odds. And right now, most sports books have them as a favorite. 230, minus 250, minus 278 in some other sports books for them to win the division. Next closest team is the Chargers at plus 350, basically across the board. And then the Raiders at plus 900, plus 1,000, and the Broncos dead last, plus 2,000, plus 1,800. If there is one team, though, that will be intriguing to watch this year in this division, all of them have interesting storylines, but it's going to be the Denver Broncos and seeing what they do at quarterback with Bo Nix. Who else do they have in their quarterback room in Denver besides Bo Nix? Did they acquire anyone as far as offseason goes? I'm trying to think of what is it. Jarrett Stidham? Is that who they? Oh, Zach Wilson. That's right.
Oh yeah, they brought in the Mama Schwinker to back up Bo, or apparently to start, because he is still making what, 8, 9, 10 million this year.
I mean, this is what kills me: is that are you really going to start the season with Jarrett Stidham or Zach Wilson instead of Bo Nix? Again, if it's a matter of they're in training camp and Bo Nix just hasn't shown that he is ready or that he is taking on the offense, the playbook as well as he should to start week one. But you have to have him as your starter. This is one of those, and I have been, I kind of go back and forth on rookie quarterbacks, but the more that you see it in the NFL is that you need to start him sooner than later because you need to know what you have. I've always been one of those to like have patience in that rookie quarterback should have at least 3 years to see if they're that good. Some dudes get moved on after a year, after 2 years, but you're not going to be able to find that out unless you start have them actually start playing NFL football.
Multiple,
to just draw a comparison, I mean, this is like the NBA too. It's like, if you have a young draft pick, play those guys as much as possible, have them take their lumps so that way they can see what it's like playing in the league. It's like, oh yeah, he's a practice all-star. Well, that's great. What does he do when the lights are actually on and they're actually on the field? So I just, if you're the Broncos, you have to start Bo Nix week one. You just have to.
Yeah, Coach Sean Payton has said the competition, this was just this last week, according to Newsweek, saying that the starting position battle will go until the start of the preseason. That would be this next Sunday, a week from today. And Zach Wilson's already out. He's third string, so it's basically already down to Bo Nix and Jarrett Stidham. I would be shocked if the Denver Broncos want to throw Stidham out there.
They say that, this is according to Chase Daniel, who had one of the best NFL careers of all time because of how much money he made with actually having to do minimal work that entire time in his NFL career. But he's saying that Bo Nix is passing every test that Sean Payton throws his way, and he wouldn't be surprised if he starts.
As he should. We've seen not just the talent from his time at Oregon, but the development and kind of the whole trajectory of his career and growth from his time at Auburn to Oregon. Yes, Oregon's system favors quarterbacks, but there's got to be some grit in there. Bo Nix comes from a football family. He's a competitor. That's the kind of guy you want starting, man, with those numbers in college. Like, why would you sit a guy like that? Why draft him in the first round just to sit him? I understand that rookie quarterbacks don't do well, but there are the Peyton Mannings of the world. I'm not saying Bo Nix is going to grow up to be a Peyton Manning Hall of Fame quarterback, but Peyton went 3-13 in his first season, then went 13-3 the next. It can happen.
You're going to get possibly the first look of Bo Nix as a Denver Bronco next Sunday, August 11th. They're going to take on the Indianapolis Colts. That's a 10 a.m. kickoff on the NFL Network. If you're a real degenerate and you want to bet on some preseason football, the Broncos are a 2-point favorite in that one.
Oh, I'm not betting preseason football. Are you kidding me?
How do you even establish those lines?
I still remember when Dame was still a Blazer, he got a tweet from somebody very disgruntled, said it was a preseason game and they lost a bill on it, or lost $1,000 on a preseason game that Dame didn't make a couple of shots in. And Dame's like, why are you betting, bro? It's preseason.
I almost appreciate that type of degenerate right there, betting on preseason. Apparently there's I love seeing these over-unders also, because there is not a single over-under in the first week of preseason action that is over 40. I think the highest over-under in a preseason game is 38.5.
Yeah, that's scary. Don't touch any of those.
I almost want to just put $5 on every single under of the preseason in week one and see what happens.
Yeah, or just parlay them.
Yeah, parlay just over-under. I want to say the lowest over-under that I'm seeing so far in week one action, 33.5.
All right. No, not yeah, you're giving me ideas now.
For Washington at New York. You will see Jaden Daniels in that week one matchup against Washington, or Washington against New York. So you'll get some playing time from him. But again, Denver taking on Indianapolis in that week one matchup, and that will be our first look of Bo Nix as the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. But it's not just Chase Daniels. There's a lot of reports out of training camp that Bo Nix is just lighting things up. He's already getting playing time against the first team defense. You want to take training camp stats with a grain of salt, because, well, it's training camp stats, but apparently 64 of 72, 22 passing touchdowns and only one interception. So he's lighting it up. He's looking great out there, and there's a lot of great reports coming out of Denver as far as Bo Nix with that team. So
he can read defenses quick, and he can get the ball out of the pocket quick. Both very, very important skills in the NFL.
Accuracy as well. I heard he was pretty accurate in college. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah. That record, right?
That might be pretty important. All right, let's do some more AFC West preview. Let's look at some win totals, over-under on those as well. We get to that next year. Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan, but first, Schultzy with a Sports Center update. For the love of God, please don't let this injury linger too much for Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Please, someone give the Chiefs a little bit of competition in this division. Because it's not looking great, Bob. Not looking good. The Chiefs, big favorites to win their division, obviously. Again, they do have Patrick Mahomes. I want to click through each one of these divisional odds, though, because I am curious if there is another team that has better odds to win their division than the Chiefs. Right now, the only one I'm seeing so far is the San Francisco 49ers. They have pretty good odds to win their division.
Brock Purdy still facing questions about his talent. Unbelievable.
As he should.
Why? Dak Prescott's getting handed $60 million this next offseason, and we're still questioning whether to give Brock Purdy, what, 45, 50, 55?
Well, that's what happens when you're a seventh-round pick, all right? You will be questioned until you have to do it again and again.
How many playoff games has Dak Prescott won?
And again.
How many?
And again.
How many playoff games has Dak Prescott won?
I believe two.
And Brock Purdy?
The San Francisco 49ers have won more games than that.
Yeah.
With Brock Purdy as their quarterback.
Yeah. And again, why are we asking this question? But I digress.
Again, the San Francisco 49ers, the team, won the game. Not Brock Purdy.
Stop it. You know what?
Because Dak Prescott gave up all those points on defense, right? He was playing DB. He was playing linebacker. He was had the headset on during the defensive.
Pretty sure he threw some interceptions late in the season that didn't really go so well.
I digress. The over-under win total for the Kansas City Chiefs, 11.5. I will take the over because I believe the Chiefs will win 12 games until Patrick Mahomes is not the quarterback of that team. Like, every season. Every year that he is the quarterback of that team. I think they went, 11-6 last year, which so far is their worst record as him, Patrick Mahomes as a starting quarterback.
Yeah, people were wondering if there were cracks in the shield starting to form.
Well, let's face it. Their offense last year during the regular season, it was not the same Chiefs offense that we're used to seeing. But again, as long as Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback, I have that team winning 12 games a year. And they have done that every season except last year.
Well, two of those were. I'm not going to say that that was the fault of Kadarius Toney on the first one and the whole bitching. Remember when they lined up offsides or they lined up?
And that was such a cruel play that you just took a Hall of Fame play away from a Hall of Fame player. I mean, they just need to let that go.
It's like, was that legal, Mr. Frog? No, Kermit, it was not. But the second one, when he pretty much dropped a ball on the way to a winning touchdown of that game, I think you can put on him. So that probably should have been 13 wins instead of 11.
Yeah. So Chiefs over under is at 11.5. The Chargers over under at 8.5.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. My heart tells me I want to take the over. My heart tells me that this Chargers team, it is going to be different. But the wind has been taken out of the sails a little bit with this Justin Herbert injury, where it's just you wonder if they even have the weapons around him to be able to give him a great season as well. I mean, right now their depth chart at wide receiver looks like DJ Chark, Josh Palmer, and the rookie Ladd McConkey. With Will Disley as your tight end.
I mean, they give Justin Herbert $53.5 million, but then they bring in a collection of has-been wide receivers. Kind of makes me question what they're doing on offense as far as, like, through the air. They're obviously going to run the ball.
Well, we'll see what happens with this Ladd McConkey kid out of Georgia. Good little player. But they whiffed on Quentin Johnson. He so far is looking like a bust.
Keenan Allen go.
When you're going in the season with your running back being Gus Edwards, too. I mean, like, what is... I mean, come on. I know Gus is a decent running back, but I really feel like this team without Austin Eckler and then, I mean, Mike Williams as well, that this is just a very underwhelming offensive collection of talent.
I hear you. But it's Jim Harbaugh's collection of offensive talent. Undervalued or not? No, I'm not sure that he's going to be able to do much with these guys other than, I don't know, some tricksy run plays. I mean, it's the NFL. Run game's big. That establishes a pass. We get it. It's the age-old story. But doesn't sound like they have many weapons to work with. I'm assuming Jim Harbaugh thinks he knows something we don't.
Well, and Greg Roman, now their offensive coordinator as well. It'll be intriguing to see what he does. I mean, he's had some good offenses in the past. I mean, he's most recently the coordinator for the Ravens. and before taking last year off. I hope. I just pray that this Chargers team is able to overachieve and that this Justin Herbert injury and that the red flags with it are not as severe as it is. Because, again, just please, Herbert and the Chargers have a good season. Even their one good year that they had, it was the flame out in the playoffs, that blown game against the Jaguars. And so I'm just hoping that this is not the case this year and that we're not already looking to 2025 for the Los Angeles Chargers. And then the other two teams in this division, boy, not a lot of optimism as far as over-under win totals. The Las Vegas Raiders at over-under 6.5 the first year with Anthony Pierce. You want to talk about failing upwards in the world of football. Are Arizona State coach, recruit. You ended up getting popped for recruiting violations. And then, wasn't Gruden, excuse me, it was McDaniels who ends up losing his job, and you kind of fall into the spot of being the interim head coach. And granted, your players, they play for you in that final stretch of the season, but he will have a full year as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Godspeed, fella, because I as far as head coaches that I do not have a lot of faith in, new head coaches, he is going to be one of them. I think it's easy for a team to rally behind an interim head coach for the rest of the season, but now you got to go and prove it over a full season. And they're over under win totals at 6.5. Love me some Gardner Minshew, Minshew mania, but I would take the under. I don't think it's going to be a great season for the Las Vegas Raiders. And I think Davante Adams at some point will be traded from this team.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like, right? I mean, he was unhappy with Jimmy Garoppolo. If you haven't seen Netflix's Receiver show yet, go watch it. It's awesome. But, it hasn't seemed like Vegas really is the best place for him. And without even, because I'm not trying to be mean to Gardner Minshew here, but I'm going to say that they probably don't even have a quarterback on the roster now as talented as Jimmy Garoppolo.
Don't you besmirch Gardner Minshew.
I'm sorry. I like the stash, but there's a reason the dude's a backup and not a starter in the NFL.
Looking at the depth chart. I see him as QB1, baby.
How much
that looks like
paid?
A starter to
like
me.
Like 8-9 mil? Yeah, they brought him in on a backup salary. He's lucky that he's playing in Vegas.
Gardner Minshew, QB1. Aiden O'Connell, QB2. You want to know who's on this depth chart at the third quarterback? Anthony Brown, baby.
Oh, there we go.
Ready for the Anthony Brown experiment?
Hey, you know what? He had to fill in for Lambjack in Baltimore a couple of years ago. I don't think he looked great, but he didn't look bad. He actually knew how to run an offense in the NFL. He could keep it going.
So the Raiders at 6.5 win total there. And then the Broncos, they have they are tied for the second lowest over under win total. The Patriots are the lowest in the league at 4.5.
Yikes.
But the Panthers and the Broncos over under at 5.5. I'm taking the over for the Broncos, baby. I feel like them getting at least 6 wins, Sean Payton and Bo Nix at quarterback, I feel like they're going to be one of the nice little surprises in the NFL this year. I'm hoping so. Again, we got to have some optimism with our Oregon quarterbacks in this division. With Herbert's injury, obviously, but Bo Nix, the way that it sounds like he is tearing up training camp, go into the season with him as your starter. I would love to see the Broncos, Sean Payton, and Bo Nix have a somewhat of a surprising year and get like 6 or 7 wins.
I mean, I don't see it happening. I hope it does. It's not like he's got anybody to throw to.
I'm taking them to not finish last. I'll go Raiders finish last in that division. We're going Broncos number 3. With at least 6 wins. And then Chargers are going to finish a distant second in that division behind the Chiefs. Again, this is going to be the Chiefs division to lose until the end of time. Until Patrick Mahomes is no longer playing quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. And Andy Reid isn't coaching that team anymore. And that's one of those questions, too, is how many more years does Andy Reid have left in him? Does he just ride this team out until Patrick Mahomes isn't playing anymore? That's like another what? 13 years.
Yeah, like that's a situation where you want to go out on top, but at the same time, like, you could just add more and more and more greatness
Andy
to your
Reed.
Trophy case. Like, I don't know, man.
So Andy Reid is 66. Patrick Mahomes is 28. So let's say Patrick Mahomes realistically has another 12 years left in his career. That means Andy Reid would be coaching until he's 78 years old.
Nah, I don't see it. I don't see it.
I hope so. I would love to see an old 78-year-old Andy Reid still on the sidelines in 12 years.
A dude wants to go back to his recliner and eat some nuggies before that happens.
But yeah, Chiefs, we'll see you in the playoffs again. How many straight years has it been that they've won the division? I mean, what, we're going on...
What, at least five?
I think more, because, I mean, with the years that they had Alex Smith on the team
Yeah, we're going back.
I mean, this could be going on 8 straight seasons of them winning the AFC West. They have won it every year since 2016. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They are going for their 9th straight divisional crown.
Jeez. And Pat Mahomes' quarterback contract. Still making a bunch of money, but structured to allow others to be signed. It's a pretty good situation they got in Kansas City.
What a concept. How about that? Having a team-friendly contract so that way they can afford other players. This is one of my favorite things I've seen from the Dak Prescott contract negotiations is that, you know, it's not so much for him to get paid, but it's for the quarterback brotherhood. It's so that way quarterbacks around the league can get paid too. You know, they just keep raising the bar, and that's what all he's trying to do is help other quarterbacks in the future get paid by having his contract now be the highest in the league. And it's all about just helping out the brotherhood of quarterbacks in the NFL. It's not about me, okay?
No.
It's not about me getting $60 million.
But they already are getting paid. When Daniel Jones gets $40 million a year.
I truly believe that, I mean... Again, if we have to look year by year, that was the contract that changed things. People, like, I'm sure GMs around the league were like, son of a bitch, when the Giants gave Daniel Jones $40 million a year. It was like, all right, I guess that is now the standard of a middle to low tier quarterback. And now we're going to have to be paying quarterbacks even more than we wanted to because of the New York Giants.
Yeah, Giants screwed everybody over. Good job, New York. Shocking.
So, Chiefs, congratulations. You have won the AFC West without even playing a single game. Chargers, praying for you. Raiders, probably going to be looking at a top three pick this year is my guess. And then the Denver Broncos, I think, will be one of the better surprises this year with Bo Nix and Sean Payton. At least I hope. Again, one Oregon Duck quarterback has to have something optimistic to look towards in this division. All right. One more segment. We wrap the show up next here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. I am officially old.
Welcome.
I have declared it as of yesterday. I believe when they were doing the Pro Football Hall of Fame ceremony, the videos were from yesterday was the ceremony. And again, you know, there's been players in the Hall of Fame inductions, the ceremony that, you know, I remember watching and seeing them. But there are some names on this list where it's just like, okay, this is too many players that I remember seeing come into the league, seeing their prime and seeing them retire and now getting into the Hall of Fame where it's like, okay, I am now that old man.
Yep.
I mean, we had Devin Hester introduced into the Hall of Fame. We had Patrick Willis introduced into the Hall of Fame. We had Andre Johnson introduced into the Hall of Fame. I mean, those three alone where it's like, dude, like three, Dwight Freeney as well, Julius Peppers.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is like, those are five players right there that I had watched play a lot of football. Andre Johnson being like the first Texan ever. Right?
Yeah, I believe so.
I mean, you remember him getting drafted and the Texans becoming a friend, and now they're getting their first Hall of Fame.
Actually, technically, inductee. It was David Carr, I think. David Carr was the first Texan.
Right, as far as draft picks go, but as far as first Hall of Famer.
Oh, from Andre the Texans. Johnson. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, that is pretty cool. He'll go under as a Texan. That's awesome.
But God, seeing Devin Hester up there and Andre Johnson with their gold jackets, I mean.
Remember Devin Hester's punt returns? I mean, I'm assuming that's what got him into the Hall of Fame. He was a great...
his returning, 100%. Yeah, him kick returning, punt returning. Yeah, that is what he is known for. He had a line during the ceremony that, you know, that something along the lines that there should be more returners in the Hall of Fame. I'm just the first. So whether we're going to have more returner, I mean, the only other returner in the NFL that I remember as far as like having an impact. I mean, Dion, yes, but he had a defensive impact, obviously. But who was it? Not Andre Hall. Who was the...
It was Dante Hall.
Dante Hall.
That's who I'm thinking of, too, for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah,
that dude,
when he just had a run for a while where it was like, oh, my God, like, he is just returning everything.
Two or three kickoff returns for touchdown a year. And kick returns for touchdown are one of the rarest instances in the NFL. They almost never happen. I think it's less than, like, 2 or 3% of the time.
Well, we'll see if that changes. I mean, the kickoff rule is obviously going to be one of the bigger changes to the NFL game.
Did you see that on Thursday in practice for the first time ever? Like,
it's bizarre.
It's bizarre, but
it's
I
really
like
weird.
It.
I mean, I like it too, but it's, again, just like, it's such a change from the mold of how kickoffs have been played. And so just having the two lines of return and kickoff team just standing there waiting, like, that close to the returner.
Yeah.
Like, it is very bizarre to watch and see. Because, full disclosure, I did not watch any UFL or XFL and see this kick return in action. So, again, just seeing it in an NFL game, just very bizarre. And it will take some time to get used to. But, again, the kickoff became such a... Like, it was such a formality at that point, and
so
nothing,
useless.
Yeah, nothing was coming of it.
Except injuries.
For real, yeah.
And I don't know if you played football in high school, Joe, but I do remember, I mean, I was a wuss. I was not a good football player once I hit, like, 10th grade. It was like, all right, I'm not big enough. But I do remember being the most scared on those kickoffs and kickoff returns, because you were literally running 30 yards towards each other at full speed.
Oh, yeah.
It makes sense that you'd turn the kickoffs into... You know, more like a normal play where the guys are a couple of yards apart hitting each other that way. That it just makes so much sense.
I remember fondly playing high school football and being on the kickoff team. And one of my favorite things to do was just pick someone out on that front line on the kickoff return team and just flat back them.
Yep.
Like, it was not even like, hey, you know, try and get around them so you can go and make a tackle. It was usually like, no, I'm just going to go and just take their head off immediately. There was literally positions on kickoff, headhunters.
Yes. Yeah,
it was just, I'm going to go lock in on the returner and just absolutely demolish them.
Yeah, like, lock in on a returner, or maybe you injure a blocker a little bit so he can't block as well on the next one, and then you get to him faster. I don't know.
Yeah. On the Vancouver Ford text line, as far as over-under win total, I don't know if this is Rashad Taylor texting in, but he said, take the over for the Pats. Their offense will obviously be better, and the D was an elite unit last season despite being the most injured in the league. They're going to be healthier. I mean, over-under at 4.5 wins?
No. 5? I'm sorry. Under new coach Gerard Mayo, who looks like he's not really settling in very well. There was a clip going around Twitter this week. I think it was either a new draft pick, Marvis Harrison Jr. New draft pick, Marvis Harrison Jr. That would be for the Cardinals. But, God, it was either a signee or like a new draft pick, and he was getting into it a little bit with new coach Gerard Mayo. Did not look good.
Oh, I think it was Matthew Judon.
Thank you.
Yeah, and he's going through, I think it's one of those where he wants a new contract, but he's still reporting to camp, but also, something's bugging me.
Oh,
I
coach,
can't practice.
My hip.
Yeah, oh, that's weird. Maybe if I had a new contract, then all of a sudden I would be healthier. Interesting. Dude, I can't wait for this year's NFL season, this year's college football season. This is, to me, again, when I take, and what I think is going to make this season all the more fun for me, NFL, is this is a year, finally, where I do not care about my Cowboys. That Green Bay game just broke me so much that I will actually be able to consume the NFL and hopefully a little bit more objective viewpoint, because every year, the Cowboys, they'll play great in the regular season, and then they'll blow it in the playoffs somehow. And last year was a different year where I saw them, how they were playing in the regular season and how they looked. And I really thought it was going to be a different year where they were getting to at least the divisional round, possibly even the conference championship. And then they go and get absolutely embarrassed by the Packers in the way that they did in that playoff game. That completely just... it amped up the level of apathy I have towards the Dallas Cowboys. And quite frankly, that's what I'm seeing from a lot of Cowboys fans on the internet, whether it be Reddit or Twitter. It's just a lot of like, dude, who cares? Like, you know, all right, that's cool. That's great. You know, whether it's the CeeDee Lamb, the Micah Parsons, the Dak Prescott contract stuff, everybody's like, dude, who cares? Like, just at this point, blow it all up. I hope quite personally, they don't give Dak a new contract. They haven't proved it this year, and see if he can follow up a MVP-worthy season last year where he just missed out and had a great regular season. But not just do it in the regular season. Show me in the playoffs. At this point, his contract should be based off of what he does in the playoffs next year. So, all right, that'll do it for us. Next week, I mean, hell, what have we gone through so far? We've done the NFC North. We've done the NFC West. We've done the AFC West. Maybe we go NFC South next week. I have a potential guest that we can hear. Maybe get Papa Fish in here to do some AFC East, see what my dad's doing. Get in here, drink some Old Crow, and get him all worked up, have the dump button ready. But we will do some more NFL divisional previews next week. I'm sure something will happen between now and then in the college football and NFL world where we'll have plenty to talk about on this Sunday. Jordan, thank you as always.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yes, yes. Hopefully Rashad Taylor will be returning to us soon. Sounds like recovery is going well. But in the meantime, thank you for listening or watching on this Sunday, and we will catch you next Sports Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. Peace.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.